The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie. It is, of course, 94 WIP. All right, Eric Dickerson will join us at 9:30 today. It'll be fascinating to get his perspective. Of course, this all started with backs for Barkley, and our quest here as a radio station to try to help Saquon's quest to win the MVP. And so, of course, it'll be tremendous to hear from Eric Dickerson, and hopefully he will be backing, as an all-time running back, backing Saquon Barkley's quest for the MVP. What'll be perhaps even more interesting is, you know, his answer on, you know, does he want to see Saquon break his record or not? I wouldn't. But we'll find out in about a half hour what the great Eric Dickerson is thinking. All right, let's talk to Howard Eskin. Of course, joins us every single Thursday at this time. Don't do that unless it's Jared Goff's foot. And then stomp on it. And hope the Eagles get some help to get the one seed. We welcome the king, Howard Eskin. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're doing great, my man. I mean, big game tonight. Packers and Lions, big implications for the one seed. It's a good time to be an Eagles fan right now.
Yes, it is. Obviously, people are rooting for the Packers. And I think, unless you're a Lions fan. But
I'm wearing a cheese head tonight, Howard. I'm doing it. I'm bringing out my 92 Reggie White Packers jersey. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. There's a bridge too far. That's it. I don't need that nonsense.
Just wear your Aaron Rodgers jersey instead.
Then again, I will say, if Norman Braman had offered him a contract, you know, and been a better owner and blah, blah, blah. But anyway. All right, so Howard, there's so much going right now with the Eagles. What impresses you the most of all the great things? What impresses you the most with the Birds? Because that win against the Ravens was just phenomenal.
Well, I'll use one word, toughness.
Yeah,
they are really, really. They're, if you want to use together, they're tough. They're physical. You can use different words, but they're single words which mean a lot. Which really are what this team is. They're tough. They're physical. They're together, and that's something that the coach has preached. And these guys, I don't know if they had to buy into it. They probably have the players that are good at doing all those things.
Sirianni talked about that yesterday. He referenced, it's another example, Howard, of where I think Sirianni's really good. So he gets asked a question that, to a certain extent, could boost Sirianni up, how he coaches. And his thing was leaning into praising the players and praising Howie for picking them. He's really, I got to tell you, there's some old school principles of Sirianni that I really admire, and his willingness to share credit is one of them.
Yeah, but I think most coaches try to do that, but I'm sure there's quite a few coaches that are not believable when they say it. He believes it. I mean, he gives credit to everybody. He knows and always knew, even when people were burying him and trying to get rid of him. He knew what he was. He knew he was a good coach. He knew what he wanted to do, and he stayed on that path in doing it. I don't even know how else to explain it. He believed in the way he coached that team, and I don't think he wavered. Now, you might waver. Okay, you might. Okay, we're going to run the ball more because you have Saquon Barkley. You're going to do certain things because, but his beliefs never changed, and the players' respect and love for him never changed, and that is really good. So to share the credit, that's fine, but coaches do it. But are coaches believable when they do
it? Yep.
He is.
Yes. He says the team is determined. I love that word, and I do think that matters. But how do they keep it that way? Right now, everything is awesome. Last year, things were awesome all the way to 10-1, and then things changed in a hurry. How do we keep this direction, Howard? How do you guard against Panther complacency at this point?
Well, let's deal with the first thing you said. Last year's, and he says it, and he's right. You can't worry about the past because you can't do anything about the past. Mm-hmm. You can only do things. You can only help now, and then what's about to happen by doing what you're doing now. So, complacency is a difficult thing, but how do you keep it this way? I'm going to say something which is not going to be a favorable thing. Stop worrying about an MVP. Stop worrying about rushing titles. There's one focus, and that's to win. And that is the most important thing to do.
Well, to their credit, I think they are. It's us that's talking about MVP and rushing titles.
It's too much nonsense. It's just, hey, listen, if Saquon wins the MVP, that's great. But check out how many MVPs of the season won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that many.
No.
Because you got to stay. Your focus is your focus. I don't believe. I mean, I saw Brandon Graham last night. He did a charity thing. He was at the Sixers game, which is to his credit, it was for the autism thing. Unbelievable. He just had surgery, and he had a commitment. These people came in from California who bid to be with him in a game, and he went there. But he started talking about other things. I says, "Wait a minute! Whoa! It's Carolina, right?" Don't talk about, it came up in a conversation about Super Bowl. No. That's not what you guys are supposed to be doing. I can't believe that they don't think about the big picture. I can't believe that they don't think about the number one seed, because that really, and especially today with the bye and the home field is second to the bye, but it's the bye that's important. But they really do focus on the one game, and I think that's what you have to do. And you can't start thinking about anything else. It's just, a good question I heard. I don't know where I heard it yesterday. If the Eagles have it clinched, do you play? And there's a game left. Do you play Saquon Barkley if he needs to go over 2,000 yards or all this Eric Dickerson? Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about all that. I'm worried about this team's. And if you play him and he gets hurt, you look like a complete fool. So the reality is, and I bet you Saquon would be the first one to say, no, we're going to do what we have to do to win a Super Bowl and a championship. And I would say, even though it's a great badge of honor, I don't need to play if that's our focus. If you're not going to play, and if that's the case, you're not going to play. You're not going to play your offensive line. You're not going to play other people. Then you're not going to play Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it's got to be. And if Nick is going to be true to what he says, he has to be true in everything and the values of what it means to be a team.
Yeah.
And to worry about one player is not Saquon worries about the team, then everybody should worry about the team. I mean, that's important. And I know people don't want to hear that. But that's the reality of what this team has really become through their head coach.
No, I'm very impressed with him, Howard. So, John,
Howard, is Dallas Goddard's knee, are there any developments with that? Any info?
I think what's been kind of leaking out there is that he's probably going to be probably going to be gone for at least a couple of weeks with injury. And I don't know that for sure, but just some of the things you hear are accurate. All right, let's touch on that. Reed Blankenship, I saw in the locker room yesterday. I says, how are you? He's still in concussion protocol. And I saw him, he stumbled to get up when he got up from that play. He says, I'm getting better. So he's not there yet. You want him, obviously, in the secondary. The players, I don't know about Devontae, but I would think this might be the week that he could come back. But Dallas Goedert is probably, I'm just guessing from what has been leaked out through other people that this time it's probably somewhat accurate that it'll probably be gone for a couple of weeks.
Got it. Howard, let's hop to a couple other sports. We'll do two others here. Let's start Phillies and Juan Soto. So we hear from all the reporters they're not in on it at all. The question I wonder is why, and I'm going to give you four choices. One is they just think Soto's not interested in being here, which is possible. Two is they don't want to spend $600 million on a player, which is certainly possible. Three, they don't want to in light of the Trey Turner situation where they went on big on him and it's not working out. And four is culture fit. You know, maybe Juan Soto, and I'm speculating, I have no clue. Bryce Harper, you know, maybe they don't want to be on the same team. Any thought of what the main reason would be why Juan Soto and the Phillies haven't even had a meeting and there's no contract offer?
Well, it's money. They're not going to spend that kind of money, and they didn't want to give Scott Boras, when they knew, this what my belief is, when they knew they weren't going to spend over $600 million. And, you know, how many players can you just keep on signing and just say, okay, everything's all right, when you still are going to need, you're still going to need other players? It's just, you know, how many... If you trade, and I still like Bohm, we'll see what they get for him. I think they think they're going to get more than they will. But reality is they just weren't going to spend, I think it's pretty clear, weren't going to spend the money. And they weren't going to have a meeting so Scott Boras could use them as another team to build up his number. Because they know he plays that game. So I think the main reason is money. Juan Soto will probably go to wherever he gets the most money. And whether that looks like, I don't think the Yankees are, from what I hear, the Yankees aren't going to go crazy with the money. So it could be the Mets or it could be the Dodgers or the Red Sox. I guess those are the three teams.
Yeah.
And, hey, listen, it was built up by Sports Talk Radio and WIP more than it was by the Phillies, and they kind of made everybody feel good. Oh, yeah, we'll look into it. By having a meeting with them, you just...
They hadn't been out on anyone in a while, though. That's the thing where I think it's a little surprising, because they had been in for a couple of years on the biggies. And, anyway. Howard,
let me just touch on one other thing with baseball.
Sure.
This golden rule nonsense, this whatever it's going to... The batter. I check with somebody from baseball. It's ridiculous, because there's so many things discussed in meetings of rules, and it was done 5 weeks ago. Somebody obviously wanted content, and it was something that came up. It's unique. The Savannah Bananas do it. Like, who cares what they do? That's a clown show. It's fun for the kids, but it's not, I was told it was one of so many thoughts, and it's so unlikely to happen.
Good.
So put that to rest.
I appreciate that. And let's get one Sixers thing in here, Howard. I don't even have a question. I'm just going to say, Howard asking the Philadelphia 76ers, the floor is yours.
All right. You brought up, somebody asked a question when Nick Nurse spoke before the game yesterday about putting them out for a month. You know why they don't put them down for a month? They're trying to sell tickets. And that's all it's about. That's why they don't ever tell you enough in advance that he's not going to play. Do you think Nick Nurse knows right now, knew last night, whether he's going to play Friday or not? He absolutely knows. He absolutely knows whether he's going to play or not. And my guess is, first of all, I don't think he wants to play at home because he's going to get booed. But I don't think he's going to play. Otherwise, he would have said it. Tickets were going for $2 last night before the game on the tickets. It's $2. And then I posted a picture on Twitter, and halfway through the first quarter, half the seats are empty, and they still announced 19,000. Who wants to come to those games? And I am really disappointed, and I think it's outrageous that Joel Embiid, even though he's not playing, is not on the bench. I didn't see him. I don't think anybody else saw him. I don't know if he even stayed for the game. But Paul George is there.
Howard.
All the injured players are sitting on the bench.
Great point.
Are part of that team. And you better get your big rear end to sit on that bench because that's what a good teammate is.
Now,
and
he has been on there before.
Well, unless it's
Howard.
The personal reason thing.
He took that designation off.
No, they did take that off?
Yes, they did.
Gotcha.
You know why there was a personal reason thing? So he doesn't get fined. Because when he didn't make the first game in that trip, it was the Thanksgiving weekend holiday. Last year, he took off Christmas, and he said he was injured. But if you say it's personal reasons, you can't get fined. Mm. So he didn't make the beginning of that trip, and I knew he wasn't going to play on Tuesday in Charlotte. That was a given. So he can't get fined by saying personal reasons. Now, as Rhea just said, personal reasons is off.
Wow.
You know, stop with this nonsense.
Okay.
Be on the bench. You're a teammate, and if you're not going to be a teammate, then get your ass out of town.
King, stay well, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you later.
Spitting some fire right there. Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
By the way, no life advice with the hammer today. Obviously, it's a busy day, and I'm sorry we haven't gotten more calls in. We really do try. We've had so many guests, and, you know, Jason Kelce is so compelling when he's in for a whole hour. It's hard to squeeze it all in, but we want to get some calls in here. No life advice. When we do it, it's always brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, go to MHSLift.com. Reminder, coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to talk to Eric Dickerson. And this is a moment that happened 40 years ago when he broke the record.
He needs 6 yards, everybody, for a National Football League single-season rushing record, and they're all on their feet for Eric Dickerson.
He's got it, and a brand-new single-season rushing record for the outstanding star from Southern Methodist.
2,007 yards. Nobody has ever done it better.
And that was 40 years ago, and of course, Saquon's got a legitimate shot. We'll talk to Dickerson coming up in 15 minutes. Let's go to the phones. Hassan right now in Gladwin. Hassan, good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Great, Hassan.
I wish I could vote for, I know coordinators can't get coach of the year, but I think Nick Fangio was the coach of the year. And I also want to talk about Jalen Hurts. I think the next time we'll see the best version of him will be during contract year, you know, because that's when we got the best version of Jalen before. You know, it's scary to see the quarterback that Washington has, the quarterback that Denver has, the quarterback that Chicago has, and right now, having any of those three quarterbacks on our team, I think we'll be in a better position to win a Super Bowl over Jalen Hurts.
I don't know about rookie Caleb Williams, but some of the others have been impressive. I'll go back, Hassan, to your first point and say this. I think pro football has done a disservice to coordinators for years by not honoring them in the Hall of Fame. I just want to put that out there. If you're going to put a punter in the Hall, and I'm not ripping punters, but if you're going to put a punter and a kicker in the Hall of Fame, tell me how a spectacular defensive or offensive coordinator who has a massive impact on a game, a season, on a decade, on 30 years, how does someone like that never get Hall of Fame
consideration? It's crazy. I mean, Spags, a perfect – the guy's totally. one of the main reasons for four Super Bowl wins.
Totally. I mean, maybe there are a couple in. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I don't remember anyone going in the last 30 years. I don't. And it's too big a part of the sport. I mean, can you name one, John?
Oh, my God!
It's too big a part of the sport to be...
Spags is absolutely... He must go in.
Well, he probably won't.
Well, that just sounds
Look, Jim Johnson
impossible.
Only did it for a decade, and of course, Eagles didn't win a Super Bowl. So, and he only got pretty late in his life a coordinator job because I think he'd been a linebackers coach or something. But my point is, if you do that...
Apparently, there are none. Dick LeBeau got in as a player, but not as a coordinator. There are no coordinators.
Bud Carson's not in?
No.
They have a new thing they designed, I guess, to try to get them in. It's called, Awards of Excellence to assistant coaches.
Yeah.
But they lump them in with other people, athletic trainers, equipment managers, PR.
I mean, I get it. You're competing against head coaches, and head coaches are the head coach.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah.
Well, and those guys don't get in at the rate they probably should. Think about how long it took Vermeil to get in. Like, a lot of those guys, it takes a while for
that
coaches.
But bottom line, D coordinator, O coordinator, more important than punter. Period, end of story. It's just a fact.
For sure.
I mean, it's no... All right, Hassan, we got to move because Dickerson's coming up shortly. Give me a great answer here. Someone known for a certain characteristic or clothing, something like that.
A lot of, you know, two of my top answers were taken, so I'm going to go to my third one. I'm going back a little bit. Mr. T and the gold chains.
Oh, that's interesting.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think Mr. T and the Mohawk would have been better. But, okay, fair enough. Well, a pleasant good morning to you. Born to run. Eric Dickerson certainly was. Saquon Barkley certainly is. And we look forward to connecting with the great Eric Dickerson coming up in a matter of minutes. While we await him, let me get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Because it is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question, John. The question about better team, this year or 2022? How do you think people voted this year or 2022? First off, let's get everyone on the record. Ben, what would be your answer? 2022, 2024, you got to make a call. You go with which?
I'm going to say 2024 because it's more relevant, obviously. I'm going to say 62%.
Okay, and Rhea, what's your answer, personally?
I am going with 2024. I think the coaching, especially on the defensive side, is better, and the coach isn't looking for another head coaching job while he's supposed to be playing.
That was a fiasco at the end. Seltzer?
2024. I think I just trust the defense more.
Okay, I'm 2022, but it's getting really close, but I'm 2022. Hurts was better, D-line was better, but it's unbelievably close, and Saquon's a huge difference maker. John, which would you pick?
I feel like, well, I picked 2024, the defense,
yeah,
and Saquon just make the difference for me. But, man, it feels like it's like 3 out of 4 are going to say, with recency bias and everything else, it feels like people are going to vote this year more often than not. Like, it feels like close to 80%.
It is. It's 77%. That's really well done by you, say this year. I think that's wrong, but, you know, I mean, it's close. So, you know. Let's hope they go further.
It feels good.
Let's hope they go good, Joe. Yeah, let's hope they at least they go as far, because that team went really far. That team got to the second half of the Super Bowl with the inside track to win the Super Bowl, and then fell apart in the final 30 minutes. But they were damn close. All right, second poll question, John. How do you think people voted on this one? Do you think Saquon's going to break Dickerson's single season rushing record? Yes or no?
I'm going to say this is very optimistic as well, but slightly less overwhelming than the 77. I'm going to say this is like a 73 banger.
So this is what we get about 5 times a year. 50-50.
Wow.
We got a 50-50 poll on whether Saquon will break the record. All right, so Dickerson, Shirley, let's go to the phones right now. Mike is calling from Brewery Town. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Morning, everybody. How are we?
Doing great, Mike.
Good, good. Hey, just wanted to get a little talk in before Eric comes on, just about the record. So I'm one of those people that it's not on the top of my priority list. I know it's not about me, but when we played that last Super Bowl and lost, like during that game, I had this like gut feeling that if we didn't win that game, I just think it was going to be a while till we had another opportunity to get there. And now we're having an opportunity to get there. And I truly believe that even if it's 50 yards, he needs to do what's best for the team and not for himself. Like, we need this Super
Man,
Bowl.
50 yards, I think I'm playing him. 150, I might not. I mean, Mike, let me
the
just
tell you. The thing is, playing him means playing every guy on that O-line.
Yeah.
And that does, and maybe not the quarterback. Maybe doesn't
not
playing the quarterback. But I'm positive that Jalen, based on the way that these guys really do depend upon one another and the way that they seem to be close, I would think Jalen would want to be out there with him for this whole journey,
yeah,
and being a part of it.
So, Mike, let me give you a flip side argument. And, I mean, I hear you. Like, how do you compete against let's prioritize winning the championship? But I will say this. Off the top of my head, I was just trying to figure it out, and I have no idea the answer. What is the best record anyone in Philadelphia sports holds? I don't know any. I mean, I guess Wilt Chamberlain and the 100 points. That would probably be number one. Okay, obviously. That's a biggie. Okay, Wilt, 100-point game, that – for sure.
35-game unbeaten streak. That's pretty good.
Flyers, 35-game unbeaten streak in the NHL. Reggie Leach had the most goals ever in a postseason. He had 19 goals in 16 games.
Schmidt, 548 homers.
Nope.
No?
You got Barry Bonds.
I thought you said 548 might be the only...
No. I mean that has it
national
across the nation.
Yeah, I think he's the most with one team, for what it's worth, isn't he?
No. I mean, that's a phony. I mean, I don't care that much about that. He might. Well, Willie Mays, no, he played for the Mets. Anyway, my point is, Mike, I mean, if you go through it, like, I don't know an Eagle that holds a record. I don't know. I'm just saying, we don't have much of that. So what if a
Bo Jackson happens, you know?
I understand. It's a great look, it's a hell of a conundrum for around Christmas and New Year's if they're in this spot. Look, there's a good chance we're going to be talking about it. What do you do? Mike, give me a terrific answer here for someone that is identified with something, like Dickerson in the goggles.
Yeah, I don't know if this counts, but I'll just shoot my shot. Dads and her corny jokes.
That's pretty good.
It's okay. It's all right. There's also Ben Davis.
Ben Davis knows a thing or two about that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where did that part of your personality come from, Ben? Because you're
you eat it up, by the way.
No,
eat it up.
I laugh just to make him feel.
Oh, come on.
I try to give him some self-esteem.
That's wow.
Oh yeah, Ben's hurting for self-esteem.
He's hurting. Yeah.
Are you happy about my new job, Joe?
Oh boy, what is it?
I got a new job hanging mirrors. It's something I could really see myself doing.
See, Ben, you are the master. You are the master. On demand.
I don't know how you remember them, man.
On demand.
They're so mundane.
I do remember them, but I don't remember my own kids' names, but I remember jokes.
I like
jokes.
It. I do like it. Right.
You got pranked, Joe. I don't think you can make fun of somebody who's got dad
I got
jokes.
Pranked bad.
I can't remember.
That was bad, Rhea.
It was very
I got
bad.
I got taken really hard.
I thought it was, I have to say, I had questions.
So you could have voiced them. You didn't.
I didn't. Just went, well, that's kind of like, that was like how many years ago? 20
something? It was 98.
I just thought it was odd.
So when I went back and looked at it yesterday after he told me that it was a joke, I noticed it was in a different color pen than the other the other things on that day's ledger. So I not only
See,
got
Al Morgani was a legendary prankster, yeah. So I'm always... question stuff like that.
I mean, I got taken bad. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, so Eric Dickerson expected to join us this segment. Seltzer, am I supposed to get nervous here if he's
forgetting? Yeah, I'm getting nervous. I don't have his number. He said, I'll call you.
Where
I gave him the number. He's in Texas right now. He lives in California, but he's in Texas.
2 hours behind?
No, so he knew the time.
Okay.
So, yeah, the guy, Richie's buddy I'm texting with, he texted Dickerson. Dickerson gave him the thumbs up on the time.
Recently or yesterday? The thumbs up, was that in the last couple minutes? I mean, I got it. Our program also ends soon. You know,
I can't tell when the thumbs up was.
Okay.
It's just a screenshot.
Well, we're awaiting the great Eric Dickerson. And,
I had one of those one time, James. I booked somebody from California and repeatedly told them about the time change.
Yeah.
They didn't call. Around 12:30, I get a call from the midday show going, did you book a guest for 9:30?
Sure.
I go, yeah, 9:30 our time.
That's right, AM EST, Eastern. I know a buddy who booked Mike Williams one time after a big NFL game, Roy Williams. Roy Williams.
Okay.
And he got the wrong Roy Williams on.
Ooh.
No.
Because you had the safety from the Cowboys. I forget, but you had the safety of the Cowboys. You had the wide receiver of the Lions. They were both great.
Yeah, they were.
And the talk show host was like, all right, let's just make it up. All right, he had a big day today for the Detroit Lions. 3 touchdowns. Let's hear from Roy Williams. And it's the Cowboys' Roy Williams that pops on.
Oh, my God.
He booked the wrong one.
Did it go well?
Well, I think they made a joke of it, so it worked out. But it's one of those moments you're embarrassed by if you're a producer. All right, and not that this is Seltzer's fault at all. Guys, we really are hoping that Dickerson calls us. He was very clear. He wanted to keep his number to himself.
Yeah, he said, I don't give out my phone number. He said, I will call at 9:28 tomorrow. I will be there. He took down the number. I triple-checked it. I was like, wait, you got the right number? Yep. All right, let's check it again.
And you triple checked Eastern time?
Yes, Eastern. And again, this text message his buddy sent him, EST, is highlighted.
Well, let me say this. There's a good chance at this point we're not going to have Times Yours today. Because, of course, if he calls soon, we won't do Times Yours. So let me tell you right now, Times Yours, when we do it, is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's also try to get some calls in as we have some opportunity right now as well. Talk to Bobby. Bobby, good morning.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Hi,
Bobby.
Let
me go ahead. I know you got Eric possibly coming, so let me hit my points quick. But give me this little bit of time, y'all, because you're going to be able to follow me. All right, I'm down here in Atlanta. I've been here 25 years now. I mean, I grew up with Franco Harris's brothers, Urban Fryer, and my brother played ball. You know, I'm from the Delaware Valley. Huh. But this is what I want to tell you. John and Joe, y'all used to hurt me, man, when y'all used to talk over the last couple of years about these Georgia cats. And I'm telling you, even though I'm from the Philadelphia area, you know football up there ain't the same like it is down here in the South.
You watch your tongue there, Bobby.
Okay, hold on now.
I mean, we're the home of Unitas, Marino, Montana, Namath, and Richie.
No doubt, Richie. But real quick, okay, the SEC is pretty much semi-pro ball. We know that to a certain extent.
Yep.
Okay, I've watched N'Kobe Dean play serious football all the years he was here. He was said to be the next Roquan Smith. We can agree Roquan has done pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis, all of them, Carter. But let me tell you the thing here. These guys are used to be coached hard, okay? And that first year or so, they was not getting taught anything. There was no good tackling. I just read an article in Bleeding Green where Vic Fangio went to Nick and told him, look, man, I can't teach these guys my system or get them to go ahead and have the timing and everything if you put me through walkthroughs all the time, especially on Wednesdays. Vic Fangio told Nick that I have to go ahead, man, and be able to have these guys in pads on Wednesdays so they can really go ahead and tackle correctly to my system, so forth and so on. Now, Kirby Smart had them boys hitting all the time. Another thing I want y'all to notice, the gang tackling. Them Georgia boys now know they got somebody that knows what they're doing, because Kirby had, if you watch Georgia, they gang tackle their butt off. Right now I'm watching the Eagles. One man gets there, next thing you know, three or four of them are there.
Right.
So I'm saying all this to say, okay, and again, we know how Saban was as a coach, okay, that with the SEC competition, all you got to do is give these boys a couple more years. We know Davis might not end up being the pass rusher we hope for, but I remember when Javon Hargraves at Pittsburgh, and before that, wasn't an elite pass rusher in the middle.
Listen, Bobby, so you make excellent points, man. First off, you got to call our show more often. You're a machine of information, so please call again. Excellent points. I will say, here's the one sort of counter I'll give you to the perception a year or two ago when a lot of us were down. As much as you're right, the guys were amazing at Georgia. We have seen from college football and college basketball through the years hundreds of spectacular college players that did next to nothing in the pros.
Absolutely.
And that's why my antenna was like, well, looks like a group like that. You know, I mean, how many guys, like Stacey Augmon, he was a monster in college basketball. Did nothing. I mean, played for 10 years. He wasn't any good. So anyway,
Absolutely. But let me just get this in real quick again. But I was trying to talk to Hugh about this last week, okay, because he was down here, okay? The SEC is a gauntlet. Them guys, not everybody's going to make it. You're right. Some people are going to turn out the bus. But when Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith and Carter are going against Landon Dickerson in college, when they're going against Ole Miss 1 week, Florida in the next week, Tennessee the next week, I can go on and on because y'all know football.
Yep.
You know how the SEC competition is. They draft more people in the NFL in the first round or through the rounds almost every year. What I'm saying is with real coaching, which they finally got on defense, these guys are going to get better.
I like it. All right, Bobby, give me an answer here. Someone's known for something. What is it?
Well, Michael Jordan and his glove.
Michael Jackson. That's already been said. Give me a different answer.
Okay. Shaft and his long coats.
That's a fictional character.
Yeah, we're going real life. You get one more shot, real life.
Man, I can't think right now.
All right, buddy. Hey, Bobby, great call. Please call again. Guys, what player from college sports, basketball or football, most shocked you they weren't better?
Leitner.
Glenn Robinson. I thought Glenn Robinson
big
was
dog. Maybe
big,
big
dog.
Ron Dane.
I thought he, who, John?
Ron Dane.
Ron Dane from Jersey.
But he was an accumulator.
What about Odom from Ohio State?
He looked like he was 100 when he graduated.
But he did, and his knees were not good.
They were never very good out there.
But he was a monster.
He was.
He was. State. It was only 1 year. They got to the championship game. Football, James, who would you say in football you were shocked they weren't better?
I mean, I thought Ryan Leaf was going to be good. I was just wrong. But I did think Ryan Leaf was going to be great.
That was my draft
class.
Well,
it was in there. It was just the person.
I played against Ryan Leaf in college. He was at Wazoo, Washington State.
Yeah,
he was at Stanford.
Yeah.
I was positive he was better than Peyton Manning. I was positive he should be the first pick. And then I was so wrong.
Yeah.
Clearly.
You know, in his last game, or maybe his last game started,
I guess
he had one completion in a game.
I believe. Wow.
One completion.
I don't believe that. That is.
I think it was his last.
That is hard to do.
Might have been his last start with the Chargers, something like that. It was like then things completely fell apart.
Sure, Anyway. He was a mess in the league, but he was so overly talented. He got away with it for so long. He just never learned how to work properly.
Well, and he had substance issues, obviously. Yes. So, you know. All right, 215-592-9494. We are still awaiting Eric Dickerson. Hope he joins us today. If he does not, then perhaps we can get him on the program tomorrow. We're sorry when these moments happen, because obviously we like to deliver for you when we say certain guests at a certain time, and we really are fascinated to talk to them. But to this point, obviously not able. We hope to either really soon today or tomorrow. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, John. I was just really thinking about how I wanted the Eagles to approach this record situation with Saquon, and as it stands now, he's averaged about 124 and change rushing yards per game. Eric Dickerson's pace was about 131. I would certainly like him to kind of pick that up, because I would like him to get the record in 16 games to kind of improve the legitimacy of it.
I like that too. I think it's possible.
Well,
he's that good. And we're that good.
But James figured out yesterday, Ed, James said it's 155 yards a game.
151 and a half. It was 151.5 was what he had to
hit. In the next four. Like, that is hard,
yeah.
Ed.
Yeah, that's to get it in 16.
That's 600 yards in four games. That's hard. Yeah.
I just think the level of risk as you enter games 16 and 17 with our hopeful, like, playoff position coming into frame, that you're incurring too many unnecessary risks by going for. I mean, you know, you talked about him playing behind anybody other than our starting offensive line.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Would be irresponsible. But then
let's just front load this.
Lineman at risk.
Let's just get this out of the way now. Let's run the heck out of the football now in this next four games, it tidies everything up. We can serve all of these goals.
Let me ask a question, Ed. Give me a gut feeling, yes or no.
Yes.
Did Bill Belichick playing his players week 17 of 2007 against the Giants cost the Patriots a Super Bowl? Because no one knew the Giants were going to face them a month later, but it was the Giants, and they had seen him. And do you think that cost them a Super Bowl?
I don't think so. I think
it might have, though. Might have. I mean, there's no way to prove. Here's the thing. I asked that question knowing there's no way to know the answer. There's no known answer. But, you know, it was an amazing night. The Patriots won that game. Brady and Moss set the record they set on the same pass. I think on the same play. I think Brady set the TD record, and I think Moss set the receiving record on the same play in the fourth quarter when they... And then after that, Manning broke it in 2013 with 55. But that was the 50th touchdown. It was like a 50 or 60 yard bomb.
I think I do remember the play, the touchdown, the same way,
because they were struggling in that game.
Double doozy
record, and they get to 16-0.
And it was just him going up and catching that thing like there was no one else on the field,
right?
Like,
but
no one else even mattered.
But you know what I'm getting at? A month later, they lost the Super Bowl. Now, does it tie in? I don't know.
No.
It was bad. I'll say this. It was bad luck, though, that they happened to face the same team.
Well, and I think it's also that's a D-line that got
him. Well, that was the key to the game.
That got him panicked with four.
Well, that's why Eli Manning being the MVP of the Super Bowl was bogus. It was total nonsense. Not that he was bad, but come on. Ed, give me an answer. Who's known for a certain thing?
How about Steve Urkel's glasses?
Well, we're going real life. You got to give me not from TV and movies. Real life something.
Oh, I got nothing. I'm
all
blanking.
Right, buddy. You got it, man. Well, look, I don't know. I mean, that game is going to come back into focus if the Eagles are in that spot, because that's another one of those things. Plus, we're also going to be talking about things like the 2023 Phillies, you know, how you finish a season, the 2011 Phillies, how you finish a season. Ben, do you have a gut feeling on... I mean, there's also this reality. If they have the one seed clinched... If they get the bye, if they don't play week 18, none of the starters play for 21 games. So then there's the argument, play them so you avoid rust, because you don't have 21 days off.
I don't think Nick is concerned with that.
He might be, though.
Well,
you know what? Bill Belichick used to play his players. Bill Belichick had a lot of one seeds locked up, and he would play them.
This is a group of players who are rallying to practice with pads on Wednesdays. Think about that. This is a group of guys who say they cheered when Nick Sirianni said, no day off tomorrow. You know, they let's go to work Monday. And everyone's, yeah. They want to hit because they know it makes them a tougher and better team in the long run. This is a mindset that it's every coach's dream. And this is part of what makes us so good.
Yes, but going into the playoffs, is the risk worth the reward?
Yes, it is.
I'm not sure. I don't know my answer yet.
I believe that it is. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, and I think that the Lions, it's catching up to them. You can see their linebacking core is decimated. You can see that the injuries have put them in a position where they are nowhere close to the same team as when the season started.
Well, AJ last year,
but they're still tough-minded, and they will continue to be tough-minded and attract that type of player and maintain this toughness.
But there are certain pieces on, and there's many pieces on this team that are irreplaceable. They're irreplaceable.
I agree.
And A.J. Brown's one of them. They were at their worst this year when he was out.
Correct.
That's when they were losing
Jalen
games.
That's Carter. Why I would err on the side of caution.
And Ben, you remember, A.J. got hurt last year in the final game.
Correct.
Guys get hurt, and they will get hurt. And they'll try to keep playing.
But they won't get hurt.
They don't have
to. But, John, not if they don't play.
And say, look,
John, they're not going to get hurt.
Enough guys might get hurt that it might be a problem.
Look,
but let's hope that's not the case.
There's an argument
trying to bubble wrap everybody because they need to continue to play football.
Well,
and they like getting better by playing football. They like hitting on Wednesdays. This is a team that feels like it's worth the risk.
That's right. It's against the Giants.
Okay, and the Giants are out of it.
Correct.
Do I want to give the Giants any chance to knock out an Eagles player?
Yeah.
Plus,
Jason was with us earlier, he said he doesn't think they would play Saquon and shit in that moment.
No.
Now, it's, and then I said, well, what if it's 50 yards instead of 150? He's like, well, now I got to think about that.
I think we have five games before that game, right? I mean,
four
we have four games,
games and
before
then
that, the fifth game.
Yes.
A lot's going to change. Who knows? If the Lions lose two games,
I know.
We are going to...
Minnesota's still right there, guys. We never talk about them.
And
they have and more of an inside track than the Eagles do.
They are so well
That's
coached.
That's fact. If the Lions
Sam
don't get
Darnold,
their one seed, the Vikings have a better... Let me put it this way. They have a harder schedule, but they control their destiny more than the Eagles.
Yeah, this idea of, hey, we're going to be cruising and sitting pretty when it's all said and done. There's other teams who are working at this thing, too.
All right, we got to come up with a winning answer. This was in honor of Eric Dickerson, who unfortunately we're just not connecting with here. And I really do apologize because, we like to deliver when we tell you a guest at a certain time. Hopefully he can join our program tomorrow. I don't know if he'll call in a couple hours from now to the midday show thinking it was the designated time for today. If he does, perhaps those guys have him on. I don't know. But here's the deal. In honor of Dickerson, we were looking for someone known for something like him and his goggles. So we had me in the bathtub. That's not going to win. We had Michael Jackson and his glove. That could win. We have Flavor Flav and his clock.
Would have been better if it was Michael Jackson and the
moonwalk.
Yeah, I agree with that. Glove's pretty big, though, too.
It is. It's a good one.
We got Snoop and weed. We've got Nick Foles and, I was going to use a different word that is also four letters, but I won't. Okay. And it doesn't,
doesn't
begin with a D.
Oh.
But anyway.
Is it a C?
No. It's a W. Well, I just went from weed to, you got me?
Yeah.
I got you.
We got
change a couple letters in there.
We got Mr. T in the gold. I'm sorry. Mr. T in the gold chain. What are we going with? Allen Iverson in the sleeves.
I like Flavor Flav.
Mr. T in the gold chain's really good too, though.
I like Flavor Flav. Ben?
Yeah, we'll go Flavor Flav.
Ray,
there you go.
With that?
Flavor Flav is fine.
All right, congratulations to Derek with the Flavor Flav answers are going. All right, guys, we hope to have Dickerson on tomorrow's show. We'll see how it goes. We know Vermeil will be on. We know Elliot Sherparks will be on. We'll talk to you tomorrow.